You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guests will be talking about setting your goals to get you where you want to be in life.
He also talks about how he used mailers to get deals done and the importance of networking and investing in yourself. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we show you how to get through that next level as an investor. And with me today is William Palmer, real estate investor, coach, and the co-host of Breakthrough Investor. William, what's up, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Charles. How about you?
Man, I am doing awesome, man. I'm just extra excited for the guest that we have today. He's become a friend to us. We've seen him at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, and I'm just excited about the guest. Are you as excited as I am about our guest today?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I find that I don't like recreating the wheel, right? So it's always nice to have a coach or that is going to guide you and direct you in the path that you're wanting to go and keep you from kind of falling off the tracks quite as much. You're going to naturally do that on your own. So it's always nice to have a coach, and especially one that is another investor. So really looking forward to kind of getting into a little bit about what Paul does in the investing side and as a coach also.
Man, I'm super excited to hear all of that too. And you know, not only he's a coach and a real estate investor, he's so many other things and done so many things, man. He left the corporate America in pursuit of his real estate investment goals, and he secured 20 deals in his first 18 months of investing, and have since then gone on to purchase dozens of rental properties, being involved in hundreds of deals, and also built a successful wholesaling and flipping business. It's so cool where, you know, I was looking for properties in Little Rock early on. And so his wholesaling company is just one of the ones that I found before I even met him in person. So this guy's a big deal, man. He has great deals and great teams. He teaches business professionals how to acquire deals, build businesses, and raise money. And in addition to doing all of that, he also hosts the Ready One Investor podcast, which offers tips, hacks, insights, and more for listeners interested in forging their own freedom and escaping their day job. So you know what the other cool thing is about this guest today, William?
What's that, Charles?
He's on a mission to help over 1,000 investors quit their day job and create six-figure incomes. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I want to know what number he's at right now, so that way we can interview him in a year.
We've got to, man. And I think a lot of people are going to want to learn from him. So we are totally blessed to have today's guest with us. I'm so excited to introduce to you Paul Thompson. What's up, Paul?
Oh, man. Happy to be here. I'm super excited. With that kind of intro, I just need to walk away. I don't need to say anything now.
Yeah, do the mic drop now.
Yeah, I'm done. Great show, guys.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, that's all we need. Oh, man. But Paul, man, we're not going to let you get off that easy, man. We want to hear more about you. Our listeners are super excited, just like we are. So tell us more about your investing journey and what initially made you want to do it, man.
Well, I was a corporate employee for a long time, and it was an okay life, but I never really felt the fulfillment that I was seeking doing that job. And the longer I did it and the more I went up the corporate ladder, the more I realized I had my ladder up against the wrong wall, and realized that I needed to start over and figure out another way to create income and provide for my family that wasn't a one-for-one exchange for value where I was expending 1 hour of my time for an exchange of a dollar that I got one time. And so that was really the impetus for me, was I wanted to create freedom so that I could control my time, but I still needed to earn an income. I hadn't accrued enough net worth yet to just live off of my savings. So what else could I do? And I spent a lot of time thinking about what else could I do to basically control some sort of business, start a franchise, something that paid me while I kind of engineered my way out of corporate America and I landed on real estate.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And so how, talk more. What was that journey like? Was it scary? Was it, you know, or you just like, I'm just going to do this and get it done. Talk more about that journey, because our listeners, I think a lot of them want to transition out of a corporate America as well too, or at least, you know, have the financial freedom to live the life they want.
Give yourself options. Yeah, that's really what it's about. Earning income and making money is about giving yourself choices and the ability and the control to be able to spend your time how you want and spend your time with whom you want. And so for me, was it scary to jump off into, you know, small business entrepreneurship from a corporate job? And it was a little bit, but what scared me more than that idea was the idea of being laid off from corporate America with not having any other thing to fall back on. And I kind of had this sense that it wasn't if, but when something like that would happen in corporate America. And anybody who's spent any time in some sort of Fortune 500 company, you know, there's mergers and acquisitions and there's turnover and there's reduction in forces. And through no fault of your own, even with amazing performance, you can just find yourself the wrong side of the equations. And you're just, you know, like, sorry, we don't need you here anymore. Here's your 2 weeks notice. Tough luck. And that ended up happening to me 2 years into my program of trying to figure out a way to escape my day job. I had a 3-year plan. 2 years into it, they said, you know what? Here's a box. We don't actually need your services. Bye. And thank goodness I had been spending my time creating an alternative, because otherwise I'd have been left completely flat-footed and not really knowing what to do with my life.
Man, that's...
When you say you landed on real estate, how did you land on real estate? What brought you to that point?
So how did I land on real estate as a way to replace my day job from corporate America was I was very cognizant that I did not want to buy myself another job. So I considered starting an insurance agency. I actively looked at buying a franchise using some of my 401k money. And every one of those things I looked into, I just felt like I would then be going to a job just like I used to have, except for I paid to do it. And so, you know, the idea behind that is that you ultimately pay yourself more back in the future. But I didn't want to go into an office from 8 to 5 or, you know, work 40 plus 50, 60 hours a week to make ends meet. I didn't want to rely just on my time to generate income. I wanted to buy equity in something that generated income without me. And I'd always thought about doing some rental properties, but I just kind of was afraid and didn't really know how to do it. I finally just said, I had my wake up call moment. It's like, I've got to figure something out. And this is a business that I can buy a rental property and just see if it works. And as soon as I got my first rent check in, I was hooked. And since then I've gone on to do, you know, bigger projects and bigger asset classes, but it was my gateway drug was single family.
The gateway drug.
Now we've heard that before.
It'd be a title for a book, like a gateway drug to riches and freedom or something.
Yeah, they might put that in the wrong category in Barnes.
They just might.
I just love like Paul's analogies. I remember one of his talk at RubeCon was midterm rentals, where he was talking about I believe it was the three types of lazy bastards.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic. I remember that because I have started up my midterm rental. I think 3 months before that was RubeCon 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
I think it was.
Yep.
And talked about it, and I was laughing because it was so true.
It was so funny, man. Oh my gosh. I think I started mine after. So after the presentation, so anytime I go to these conferences and events and even like these shows too, I try to take some action items out of it. There's so many things to do, but one of my action items was to start a midterm rental, you know, being so much inspired by Paul's talk. But Paul does so many things, not just midterm rentals. Talk about like your journey with the different types of real estate and how you eventually decided to focus on commercial real estate.
Sure.
How did you get to that point?
Yes. So it was an evolution. And when you start in real estate, you pick a niche and you learn something about it. And then you find, is that a good personality fit? Am I good at buying mobile homes and managing, you know, typically lower income renters in a mobile home park, for example? And there's a lot of money to be made doing that and 15 or 20 other different types of strategies within real estate. And you got to find one that fits your personality and that is something that you find yourself enjoying. And so I tried it all. I mean, I have done just about everything in single family for sure, along the path. I've done lease options, I've done sub two, I've done owner financing, I've done Airbnbs, I've done midterm rentals. If it's out there, I've probably at least tried it. And what I found is that I'm a terrible operator. I'm a terrible manager. I'm an idea guy. I'm a visionary. I'm a CEO personality. And I come up with an idea and then I need a team, a world-class team coming behind me and actually do the work. So I'm not good at being the operator, the COO of a company, the integrator in some parlances. So what I found is for me to do what I enjoy best or most is I like evaluating a deal, making an executive decision, this is good or bad, finding resources and saying, please go do your part. And I'm good at structuring deals, I'm good at negotiating, and I'm good at raising capital. And so I have found that those skill sets work best in larger commercial projects where I am one of many general partners in a much larger transaction. And in the commercial world, it becomes very much a team sport because it's very difficult to buy a 300-unit apartment complex with your own resources alone. It's just most people aren't sitting on that kind of cash, or that kind of credit. So I find that it's really fun to put together a deal, help build the capital stack, help negotiate some of the terms and kind of put the puzzle pieces into place and then be a part of a team that then executes on the plan. Whereas I'm usually just communicating to the investors what's happened. And that's typically my role as investor relations and capital raising.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And when did you come to that realization? Like how many years did it take you to get to that point where like, okay, I'm going to focus on this. This is something, you know, this is my strong side of things. I'm going to focus on my strengths.
I would say it's been within the last 2 years that I've really honed in on commercial real estate and capital raising as my strengths. And it, you know, I've been doing this now for 9 years. So it took a while and I had some successes. I had some wins. I was able to successfully, comfortably leave my day job and not have to go back and find another job. So it's not like I wasn't successful. I just found myself kind of getting tired of every kind of business I was stepping into. Like this isn't the right fit. Okay. I want to do some sort of, I don't know, lease options and selling it on owner financing or something. It's like that wasn't a fit for me either. I want to do land flipping and I'm really good at that, but I don't actually enjoy it. I made money doing it, but I don't want to be the person on the sales call talking to the owners of properties I've found. It's not my thing. It doesn't light me up. So I found that I like to partner with operators that go and find deals and they need funding for their deals. I'm more of a lender or a capital raiser in personality. And that's something that took me, you know, all of 7 to 8 years to figure out and specialize in.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And so throughout this journey, Paul, I'm sure you had some challenges along the way. What were some of the biggest mind challenges you had to go through so that you can become what we call a breakthrough investor? Mm-hmm. And how did you get through that?
Well, the first one was starting. I spent so much of my time just kind of fantasizing and kind of wishful thinking and really taking no serious action. And I had a wake up call and I had a moment where I realized I am vulnerable. Like I'm not as important as I thought I was to my employer and I'm replaceable. And this job is way more important to me and my family than I am to this company. So I knew if I got laid off, if I wanted to make a similar type of income in the same industry that I was trained in, I'd probably need to move. And I live in Little Rock, Arkansas. That's where my wife and I met. It's where we had our kids. It's where our families are nearby. We had no interest in leaving. That's what's important to me, is spending time with my family. So I wanted to figure out a way to, instead of asking my boss permission to go on vacation to spend time with my family, I wanted to design my life so that I could ask my family permission to go work. Like when I go to RubeCon and speak there and go to other conferences that I enjoy going to, I schedule that with my family to make sure it makes sense. It's not a foregone conclusion that somebody else tells me you're going to this conference and you're speaking because that's what your job is. No, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. I ask my wife and family, hey, is this a good fit for our family for me to be away for 3 or 5 days? And that was a big switch that my family comes first and I have to provide for them, but I don't ask somebody else permission to spend time with my family ever again.
Changing up the priorities, putting the things you want first instead of the other way around.
Right, because then you'll make room for how to make it work, right? Mm-hmm. Because what happens when you work at a job and they tell you that, okay, you're going to market in New York to go fine product, like you're going. Like it's not a question if you're available. It's like, it's time to go. Here's your plane ticket, go. And well, what if that's when your child had a dance recital? Well, the dance recital mm-hmm. is actually more important to me. So why am I now going to market at New York for whatever reason?
That's good, Paul, man. I think, you know, the freedom that you've created, like so many people are wanting that, like so many investors. And I heard you talking about, you know, you had a wake up call. And how important do you think it is for investors to have this wake up call in order to get started?
So important that I've renamed my podcast, The Wake Up Call. Like I've rebranded everything that I'm doing around this idea, because you need an outside force to give you new information that makes you think, oh man, I'm not going about this right. When you have a health scare and you realize that you haven't been eating well and exercising enough, and you almost had a heart attack or you survived a stroke or you're in a car accident, whatever, it becomes real apparent to you how important your health is. You've been taking it for granted all along. That's a wake-up call. Something outside gave you new information. It's like, I need to change. And I spend my time trying to offer that interrupt to people instead of waiting for life to randomly hand it to you. Because it's going to happen to all of us sooner or later. Something's going to happen that's going to remind you that where you're setting your priorities probably isn't in line with your values right now. And so instead of waiting for life to accidentally hand that to you, I would like to invite you to do some personal reflection right now and think, am I choosing my priorities right? Like what I've been told by my society and very well-intentioned teachers and maybe even your family, is it really the right advice? Or is that just what they've been told? And so they've been passing on perhaps bad information to you. Is it incumbent on us, or is it required that we all check into a job every day from 8 to 5 and get paid an hourly salary, or a salary or pay an hourly wage? Is that a requirement that you have to do, or is that just a construct that you've been given by society?
Yeah, man,
absolutely.
That wake up call is so important too. I think, you know, a lot of us can think of many different times when we had that moment on, and I totally agree with you that, you know, instead of waiting for life to happen, you know, we need to create something, that type of environment to put us in that position to be able to achieve our goals. And, you know, I look at some of the stories of some of the most famous people or people who are successful in the area. A lot of times when you look back at their story, they had some sort of wake up call in that story, man. That's awesome. And so you said you're going to rebrand your podcast to the Wake Up?
The Wake Up Call. Yeah, already have. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, dude. That's
awesome. To be quite honest with you, that sounds complicated as all get out, like having to change everything over. But
it takes a while. Yeah. Yep, it takes a while. Like you guys were supposed to have gotten the memo, but I didn't do a very good job of telling you.
I was like, did I do?
No. It was my fault. I need to wake up call and tell you about information.
Because I was searching up online too, and I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's a real
idea. I was like, yeah, funny. That is awesome, man. So, you could even do like the wake up call conference.
Yeah, I could.
Go ahead. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, in your investing journey, uh-huh. which of course is still continuing. Sure. Have you found it helpful to surround yourself with like-minded people or people that elevate you to a higher, like maybe not a higher calling, but a different direction? You're hanging out with people that are where you want to be or have an attribute that you would like to understand how to use yourself.
It's almost like if it'd be nice if someone offered next level mastermind.
Yeah.
That's the name of my mastermind.
Love it.
It's exactly. So you guys are just kind of queuing me up perfectly. Like, you know, like, great job.
We'll take payment after
yeah,
the show.
Yeah. I'll give you your eyes for your Venmo accounts later on. So yes, we are a product of our environment, and it's really hard to do this business of investing, especially in real estate, as a sole proprietor or lone wolf approach. You have to learn something from somebody else sooner or later. And I can attribute nearly every major breakthrough in my professional career as a real estate investor from knowing somebody inside of a mastermind. Some of them are free, some of them at conferences, some of them I paid for the mastermind. But in some way, I met a new person that had a new idea that said, hey, have you thought about this? Or they just mentioned an example. Hey, would you consider going into a lending business for land flippers? Hey, as a matter of fact, I would. I know how to flip land. I don't enjoy it, but it's a great business. Oh, you are willing to like do all that work and like underwrite the deals, but I just provide the funding? Yes, business is born. And I have a fund around that very thing right now because I met this person through a mastermind.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
Dude, that's awesome. So is the next level conference the one that you do in June?
So yes, I have a mastermind, and members of the mastermind are invited to any conference that I do for every year. And so I did one this year, 2023, in June in Houston, or in July actually, but it was a big mistake to hold a conference in Houston in July because we had a great time, but man, it was blasted hot. Like I really didn't plan that out appropriately. So I'm still looking for a venue for our next year's event, but I will account for the weather a little bit better. But the idea behind these conferences that I have is called Lead Life by Design. And it's a opportunity to reflect on your current business and set your 90-day goals and create a customized action plan while you're at the conference for what's happening in your business. And so you get around, 10, 20 people that are in the same real estate investing industry, and you share stories, and we very specifically design what your next 90 days will be, because most humans don't do a very good job of planning beyond 90 days. We can set big, wide, hairy, audacious goals for the future, but then we want to break it down to actually, okay, I need the impetus to make change. Making a 90-day goal is a little more practical for us. And then we just create a daily plan, like, okay, in order to buy 4 rental properties in the next 90 days, what do I have to do? How many offers do I have to make? If I'm needing to make that many offers, how many pieces of advertisement do I need to send out? How many letters do I need to send out? How many new leads do I need to bring in? And we just break it down. We do that for every person in the group.
Man, William, I'm just seeing like this like constant theme of setting goals, right? And being very intentional about them. And none of our interviewees, none of them, I don't think they spoke to each other about this. So
maybe we need to rebrand ours to goals.
I know,
breakthrough,
right?
Goals.
Breakthrough goals. That could be in that. Yeah, I mean,
don't rebrand. Like, stick with what you got. It's great.
Oh gosh. But maybe we could do a mastermind like sure. that, right? Or you know what?
Yeah.
Just go to Paul's mastermind. I think it'll be easier, right?
He's done all the work. We just got to show up. And
well, that's why I go to RootCon, right? Like I was talking to Dustin the other day. It's like, how about I just like plan my event around your live event, and I'll just invite my people, and we'll just have a little meeting the day before. We'll have like our mastermind day, but the day before RootCon, like you've done all the work and found the venue and everything. I'm just going to ride your coattails.
He probably was all right with that.
He was. He's like, you should do it. You should do it.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like and it goes back to what you were saying about, you know, pretty much finding your strengths and operating your strengths and work with people who's good at all those other things, right? So that is so cool, man. So I'm sure a lot of people are listening right now, and they're going to want to know, how did you become a breakthrough investor, and how they can become one too. So what's the biggest piece of advice you would give someone trying to be a breakthrough investor? Besides just getting started, we know that's a very important part of the journey. But what does someone need to do to become a breakthrough investor?
In other words, always invest in yourself. If I could boil everything I say down to 4 words, it would be those 4 words: always invest in yourself, because you are your best asset, and nobody cares about your outcome any more than you do. And if you're not willing to put in the work on yourself, nobody else is willing to put the work into you as well. Like if you're looking for a mentor and they see that you're not putting in the work, why would they take you under their wing? Like, you have to give somebody a reason for them to bring you in as a protege, because you have to have put out there and put in the work in private so that you show up wherever you are as the highest and best version of yourself. And when that happens, you set yourself up for success, and you set yourself up for the potential that's out there. And until you do that, you might be missing opportunities because you're distracted with something that isn't making you better.
Man, that's good. Always invest in yourself. And let's go a little bit deep into that. I think that's a very, very important point. What are some of the ways that our listeners can invest in themselves?
So there are a couple of gardens of life that we all share. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your finances, it's your spiritual life. It's any number of ways you can slice this up, right? Your physical health. And depending on how you slice it up, there's something between 6 and 8 gardens of life. And when I set goals for the year and I set patterns of behavior, I'm looking for in what area, if I made a big improvement, would I have the best forcing function in my life? Like, what is that keystone habit or keystone behavior that I can install in my life? And we are all only just a result of a series of behaviors. So I need to think about what are those behaviors? And anybody listening to this is already doing one of it because they're listening to a podcast and they're looking for information. But you need to take some nugget of information that you glean from what you read and listen to, and then put forth a specific action plan and install one new habit every quarter. And if you were to install one new habit every quarter, every year for the next 20 years, that's what, 80 new habits that, and it could be little tiny things like flossing after you brush your teeth. That's a habit, right? Or it could be, I'll read 10 pages of a book every night that's nonfiction. Like, these are little tiny habits that if you were to install those and they become a part of your ecosystem and your DNA, that they just happen all the time, then you give yourself the chance of being the best version of yourself because you're always in this growth mindset and creating the potential for compound growth.
Oh, man. So I think what you're saying is, start with those small steps that make an impact, not just any small steps, but the ones that really are going to make an impact long term. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You have a background of a brick wall behind you and you build an empire brick by brick, but you want to choose each brick that you put out there very carefully. You don't want to start at the top, right? You want to start at the foundation. You want to start at the right thing that's going to create the most opportunity in your life. When you're building a physical brick wall, it's obvious. You know, you start at the bottom row. But in life, the first row isn't always obvious. Like right now, mm-hmm. somebody's listening to this and like, what could I be doing? And maybe you are afraid of picking up the phone and calling random people and asking them to buy their house, right? There. And so I always use this question of like, hey, wake up and go make offers. If you're in the investment world, you need to be making offers of your product, service, or being able to buy somebody's house, their asset. So if you go and make offers, whatever is, and you're unwilling to make an offer, there's some sort of interrupt or blockage there that is like, I'm nervous. I'm not sure how to raise the money. I'm not sure how to do the numbers. I'm not sure how to find a deal. I'm not sure how to find the right person to talk to. That becomes your task. So whatever hinders your task in making offers becomes the next task to solve for.
Man, that's good. William, I just love like Paul's analogies to the brick wall and everything. And to play off that brick wall, you know, in order to build the brick wall, you often need the blueprint, right? And the cool thing is there's so many blueprints or, you know, that shows you, you know, what you need to do, right? To get it built. And, you know, Paul offers a lot of those different blueprints, you know, and I when I first met him, I got a ton of resources. Like you know, to this day, I still even use your seller financing options letter, you know? And so Paul gives a lot of blueprints to build these things. And so, Paul, what would you say is some of the blueprints you have out there that people can tap into to help them build this brick wall or whatever they're experiencing?
Yeah. So to build their empire brick by brick. And one of those bricks that you need is the structure on how to make offers to somebody who has an asset. This works for single family, multifamily, any sort of real estate asset. So I think anybody listening to this is comfortable and heard of, like, you know, making a lowball cash offer. And that can work if you do it enough times, but sellers get worn out with lowball cash offers. It just is insulting and you completely shut down a conversation. So what I do instead is I give people a three-letter option of intent. Here are three ways I could buy your property. Hey, William, I understand you have this midterm rental in your area and you may be getting worn out with it. Would you entertain a couple offers from me? Here's three ways that I can buy your house. One is I can buy it all cash. Two, I can buy owner financing with principal only, or I can buy the third option. I can buy owner financing with interest only. Which of those is most to your liking? And when you send that letter to somebody who is entertaining the idea of maybe I should just sell this asset because I'm getting tired of managing it, they kind of lean in and think, well, what do you say now? Say what now? You're doing what? Instead of saying, no, I don't want the number. Because when you offer somebody seller financing with the right terms, you can come closer to their price. Whereas with a lowball cash offer, all cash now, it oftentimes doesn't work. Like if someone has a $200,000 house that needs a few $5,000-$10,000 worth of repairs, they're not going to sell that property to you for $100,000 99% of the time. So instead of spending all your time just finding that 1%, probably less than 1% of the addressable market, you could find 3 to 5% of the addressable market by offering terms and saying, hey, I'll buy that for you from you 10% down at $200,000. but I'll pay you in installments over the next 10 years, and that will also save you in taxes. Is that something you'd entertain?
Absolutely. I know if I got that, it doesn't even matter if I wasn't planning on selling. I would be curious about
it. You at least entertain it, right? Mm-hmm. And so what did I just do when you did that conversation? Now we have a relationship. And Grant Cardone is famous for saying contacts equals contracts. The only difference is the letter R, relationships. And that's how you establish relationships with people who don't know you yet, that have an asset that might be open to receiving an offer from you.
So, Paul, how do you send out these kind of offers? Like obviously, you're going to do a lot of them. Are you using like direct mail? Are you like how are you doing that?
For single family, there's so many addressable single family houses in any given market that it's a little bit difficult to send a three-letter option of intent that you've done a lot of research on, unless you've spent some time kind of ironing out who to talk to. So, what we do for properties that are for rent. Now, mind you, think about in y'all's market right now, whichever market you like to invest in, how many of empty houses are there for rent right now? You know, there's probably 1,000. That's 1,000 people and there's a landlord on every single one of those that you could send, and they have a problem. The property is empty and we know it's in pretty good shape because it's ready for rent. And they may not want to fuss with renting a place through Christmas or whatever. So of those 1,000 people, wouldn't you bet there's probably about 30 of them that would at least entertain a conversation about buying the property from them right now for the right terms? Mm-hmm. So that's one way to get a free lead is all the properties that are for rent right now. You can go to the property manager websites. You can go to Zillow. You can go to Facebook Marketplace. And people are listing their property for rent. And so if you're just getting started and looking for a free lead source where you can experiment with this free option letter of intent, that's a good place to do it because you can with a little bit of research, I mean, less than 5 minutes, you can make an estimated guess as to what the value of the property is within 10% accuracy. And then you can make an offer based on that and the property's in already good condition. And you know it's going to be renting for because it's for rent right now. So the three pieces of information you need are already there with a very little effort. So I would send a mailer to whoever owns the property with a letter that says, would you entertain this? You might be in this for the cash flow, but you know, maybe you're just worn down with it. I would love to buy the property from you. I'm in the market. I have several other properties in the area and I'll buy it based on one of these three ways. Which of these is most to your liking?
Man, this works, man. I've used your letter, Paul.
Yeah. And if you do that at scale, and you can do, one point I was doing 40 of those a week. I had a hired a virtual assistant. I created a little script with Google Drive and using Google Sheets and whatnot. And I would have it all set up so that they would pull and scrape this data from potential websites based on a little information that I gave them. They would make offers at scale and send 40 letters a week. And I was not involved. And my phone would ring 2 or 3 times a week from those 40 letters.
Man, that is so cool, man. This is some really good tips, man. But man, Paul, this has been absolutely amazing, man. But more than likely, you know, maybe we missed something. Is there anything we missed so our audience can become a breakthrough investor just like you?
Okay. What is something that we haven't talked about that everybody needs to hear? And I would say that right now, the best opportunity in the marketplace is interest rates are high. We've come out of COVID. A lot of people barely survived it. And there's a lot of people who own properties free and clear that are baby boomers that would love to sell their portfolio, but they have a big tax problem. If they sell their portfolio of 10, 20 houses at once, then they're going to get hit with a huge tax basis because they paid everything off and they've depreciated that thing down. What are they going to do when they sell it? I mean, they're going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes. Why don't you make an offer to them to buy a property a year for the next 10 years and do it owner financing? Buy a portfolio. So why spend all this time buying a single family house when you could find a landowner and buy their entire portfolio incrementally?
What do you think is the best way to go find those people that have those portfolios?
The three-letter option of intent. That's a way. That's a very cheap way. You can just do letters to absentee owners. That's another fine way. You can go to the local landlord meetings that most areas have a landlord association, and all they do is go to that place and complain. And so you want to go there and find whoever runs the landlord association and say, is there anybody in this group who might be interested in selling a few of the houses? I'm getting started and I already have some houses in the area. I'd like to see if I can buy some of these properties and pay them, you know, owner financing and pay them more interest than get from the bank, right? But less than I'm paying the banks. Because right now, the prevailing interest rate for investors is approaching 9%. And it just doesn't work. The numbers stop working at that amount. So what else could you do? Could you do offer the property owner financing and pay somebody else 6.5% and be thrilled with it? And they would be, where can they go and get 6% interest on a property that they already owned that if you don't perform, they get the house back?
I mean, it's a win-win.
It is.
No matter how you slice it.
Yeah. If they're open to selling and they don't want to manage the properties anymore, they are out there waiting for you to make that offer to them.
I already have somebody in mind just after the conversation.
I take commission from them as well.
Hang on. I'm going to text him and I'll let you know. Back to me.
Well, yeah. Well, then you need to get that the three offer letter from Paul for
yes,
sure.
Yes, I do. That would be super helpful.
Hey, you know, William, let me know if you get it. And so, Paul, we're also going to do some, William and I are going to do some also episodes in between where we teach lessons and everything.
Okay.
So maybe we can do a case study with how you use Paul.
Love it.
Three
option letter of intent.
That's right. This is awesome, man. Well, Paul, this has been fantastic. And people are going to want to find you and listen to you more online. How can they find you and how can they connect with you?
Yeah, the best place to find me is my website, pauldavidthompson.com. I'm sure you drop that in the show notes. And then I'm on most social platforms. I'm Paul David Thompson.